কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু দয়া কর মোরে তোমা বিনতে দয়া জগত সংসারে শ্রী কৃষ্ণ পতিত পাবন হে তুম তবয়মতা পতিত প্রভু না পাই প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ প্রেমানন্দ শোকি কৃপাবলোকন কর আমি বর দুঃখি দয়া কর সীতাপতি অদ্বৈত গোসাই তব কৃপা বলে পাই চৈতন্য নিতাই স্বরূপ সনাতন রূপ রঘুনাথ বট যুগ সৃজীব প্রবলোকন কর শ্রিয়াচার্য প্রভু শ্রীনিবাস রামচন্দ্র সঙ্গ মাগে নরতম দাস
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे हरे चंद जय गौर भक्त बिंद
जय
जय जय चंद जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त बिंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त
जय जय चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त बृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त बृंद
पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन श्री राधा कुंज बिहार श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की समवेत भक्त वृंद की श्री चित्रचरितामृत की ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतकदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला डिस्कशंस वी आर इन चैप्टर 8 लॉर्ड चैतन्य मीटिंग विद रामानंद राय सो आई वांट टू से अ फ्यू मोर वर्ड्स अबाउट where we were yesterday. Yeah. Regarding this Swadharma Acharan, I want to say a little more. Because that is a rejected step. Nevertheless, it is important for us to know what is special about each step and what is lacking in each step. So, by knowing these two, our progress to higher steps will be more meaningful and more convincing. Therefore, like yesterday I was telling about how Bhagavad Gita, you see, it proposes the worship of demigods as a very wonderful thing in the beginning. Lord Krishna proposes that. Eventually he says it's meant for the less intelligent people, and then he gives something more higher. But one thing is true in the scriptures, anywhere you go, bhakti is considered the crown jewel of all methods. Bhaktya mama vijanati, javan yaschasmi tatvatah. Or you will find bhaktya tu ananyaya ashakya, aham evam vidorjuna, like that he says. So many, many places the bhakti is claimed as a conclusion by Krishna, and he doesn't give anything else beyond that. So it would be foolish on the part of jnanis to think maybe jnana is above bhakti or something like that. Bhakti is the ultimate. Like you see, bahunam janma namante, jnanaman maha prapatite, vasudeva sarvamiti, ends with bhakti. You take yogi, yogi nam abhisarvesha, madgateya nantaratmana, shraddhavan bhajate yama. Again that ends with bhakti. Take karma yogis, yajnartha at karmana, anyatra lokoyam karma vidana, aryat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi, dasiyat, yat tapasasi kaunteye tat kurusham. So karma, jnana, yoga, they all ultimately flow into bhakti. Until then they are considered incomplete. When they ultimately enter into bhakti, they are considered complete. Which means all those paths, they attain their perfection by connecting with Krishna and through bhakti. Otherwise they are considered incomplete. Whereas bhakti, it has no mental impediments at all. Ahituki, apratihata, ayatma suprasidati. That means, you know, bhakti doesn't depend on other things. But I'll just show you one verse, a very amazing verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here in this verse, the Lord will show Uddhava Gita to... Please read this.
In every yuga, many living entities entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance gain the association of my devotees. Thus, such living entities as the daityas, rakshasas, birds, beasts, gandharvas, apsaras, nagas, siddhas, charanas, guhyakas and vidyadharas, as well as such lower class human beings as the Vaishyas, Shudras, women and others, were able to achieve my supreme abode.
Correct, na? Yeah. You see, like Vidyadhara, he was in a snake form, no? He captured Nanda Baba. And then Krishna delivered that Vidyadhara. Correct, no? He came out and then his body became beautiful demigod with kundal and mukut and everything. Similarly, you can think of each of them. You will find like that, yeah. Like which is a bird coming to your mind? Jatayu, isn't it? Beasts like Vanaras, like Hanuman, Gajendra and all, isn't it? Some Rakshasas like Vibhishan, you can think about, no? Similarly, in this way you can find Daityas like Prahalad coming in the Daitya family, Vali Maharaj. So Lord is saying even all these people are delivered only by devotional service, yeah. And then
Vritrasur, Prahlad Maharaj, and other like them also achieved my abode by association with my devotees. As did personalities such as Vrishaparva, Bali Maharaj, Banasur, Maya, Vibhishan, Sugriva, Hanuman, Jambavan, Gajendra, Jatayu, Tuladhara, Tuladhar, Dharmavyadha, Kubja, the gopis in Vrindavan and the wives of the Brahmanas who were performing sacrifice.
Yeah. Then he's elaborating on some of those people. Yeah, hear what he says.
The persons I have mentioned did not undergo serious studies of the Vedic literature, nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows or austerities. Simply by association with me and my devotees, they achieved me.
Yeah. So the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga, he is saying. See, this is very special. Kevalena hi bhavena.
Kevalena hi bhavena.
Gopyogavo naga mrigaha.
Gopyogavo naga mrigaha.
Yanye mudadhiyo nagaha.
Yanye mudadhiyo nagaha.
Siddha mami yuranjasa.
Siddha mami yuranjasa. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the gopis, cows, unmoving creatures such as the twin Arjuna trees, animals, living entities with stunted consciousness such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kalia, all achieved the perfection of life by unalloyed love for me and thus very easily achieved me.
Yeah. That's what the Lord is saying, you see. Yeah, and then similar to that was Naham Vedena, Tapasana, Danina. Like that the Lord will say. So these are very, very, very special verses actually. He begins with this. See.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha
narodayati mam yogo
na sankhyam dharma evacha
na swadhyayas tapasyago
neshta purtam na dakshina
na very similar verse na namam sadhayati yogo na sankhyam dharma buddhava na swadhyayas tapasyago yata bhaktir mamorjita similar verse like that. And then he quotes all these things, you know. May I please read this?
Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Ashtanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice non-violence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances and dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control."
With all these things, such a long list, no? Isn't it? After this, all acharyas have commented a lot on these verses. Then, after that, he says this. Satsangena hi daiteya.
वैश्याशूद्रास्त्रियोऽन्त्यजाः रजस्तमः प्रकृतयः रजस्तमस् प्रकृतयः
तस्मिन् तस्मिन् युगे युगे बहवो मत्पदं प्राप्ताः त्वाष्ट्रकायाधवादयः
विषपर्वा बलिर्बाणो
मयश्चाथ अभिविभीषणः सुग्रीवो हनुमान् ऋक्षो गजो रुद्रो मणिक्पतः व्याधः कुब्जा व्रजे गोप्यो
यज्ञपत्न्यस्तथा परे
Here Lord gives the list in every yuga, all these things which read, just now we read it. These are the people. So why I showed you this, one thing we should be very convinced that, you know, shastras say this is better than this and that is better than this. But when you come to bhakti, there is nothing better than that. In fact, you'll be surprised. Many of Mayavadis in their books say, when all else fails, you know, what do we do with our crisis created by the mind? Somebody is asking, and even a Mayavadi guru is answering. He's saying, then you chant the holy name. He says, you know, all other techniques will not work. He says, so the path of bhakti stands supreme, like a sun in the sky. It cannot be hidden all through the shastras. So, at the same time, then why is Krishna explaining about, you know, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and all these things in the Bhagavad Gita also? Because, you know, when you keep a, you know, diamond studded ring in a box, the box background is, you know, black or sometimes blue or dark green, correct, no? That kind of thing. You see in the jewelry box? When you open it, you find the jewels. So the jewel shines out with that background. So Krishna kept this karma, jnana, yoga and Bhagavad Gita to make the bhakti shine out. So it just stands out when you see that. Then you, otherwise we may tend to be inattentive in accepting bhakti. In the same manner here also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ramananda discussion. Why are they going from the basics? Same thing with 6th canto, 1st chapter, with a discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and our Parikshit. He is asking, that Drishta Shutabhyam Yatpapam Janana Pyatmano Hitam Karoti Bhuyo Vyavashaha Prayashchit Namatokatam. He is asking now, why in this world people repeatedly indulge in sin even though they try for prayashchitta and all that? Then he told him the method of karma, then jnana, then yoga. Finally he told him that kechit kevalaya bhaktya, Vasudeva Parayana verse. Why is he taking him through that? Two things, Prabhupada says. One is to test the disciple whether he is stuck in any of the lower methods or he is accepting bhakti as the highest, ultimate. Whether he is intelligently ready to reject, you know, like you all know the sieve, they call it, the sieve in which they screen, so the finer ones will go through it, the grosser ones will get stuck. Similarly, the grosser methods, lower methods are all to be rejected and the finest method of bhakti should be accepted. So, Shukadeva Goswami does that, you will see that, and he appreciates Parikshit for that. So, that is one reason. Another reason is, people tend to take the bhakti yoga cheaply because it is utterly simple. It is too simple. It is too simple to be overlooked or rejected. One may take it lightly. Therefore, he presents all the other methods and he says, what is the problem with other methods? Yama adibir yoga patayir. It says that injananam abhaktanam prana yadimir manaha drish akshi navasanam rajan drishyate punaruttitam. It says in other parts like yoga and all, yama niyama pranayama, akshina vasanam rajan, he says, the vasanas remain akshin. And then punaruttitam means they again come back, he says. Whereas in bhakti yoga, it has the ability to go to the root. Bhakti destroys sinful reactions, it counteracts sinful tendencies, it burns away the sinful seeds, and it uproots ignorance. Four things he says. So therefore, he will come to the bhakti very soon, but he is beginning with Swadharma Acharan. So in Swadharma Acharan, what is the noblest thing you can do in Swadharma Acharan is Nishkama Karma Yoga. That's the noblest thing one who is doing Swadharma Acharan he can do. Which means a person, like example is Janak Maharaj. So Janak Maharaj's example is given for the Swadharma Acharan. I'll just show you that. So there's a famous verse there. Karmanai vihisam siddhyam asido janakadeha. So this is, who is this? Janaka Maharaj. He is setting an example. Saying. So you will find this. Tasma asakta sattam karyam karma samachara asaktohi acharan karma paramapnati purushaha. So, Krishna quotes his example also. Not only he quotes Janaka's example, he quotes his own example. And also why Janaka is still continuing to be a king, he has become detached. Actually, he performed his duty of a king, Kshatriya duty, but then he detached himself from the fruits and then gradually he became aloof from that. So, and then Krishna quotes his own example also there. So now, then why here Swadharma Acharana is rejected and then Krishna Karmarpana is glorified? Because actually in the Swadharma Acharana, there is more emphasis on detaching yourself from the fruits and not specifically offering to Krishna. You will see that many times, for example, Indraya Swaha Idam Namama. The Namama is very important. One has to detach oneself. Why? Because otherwise the wealth that you accumulate will become a cause of your own downfall. So one has to offer the silk and grains and, this thing, and ghee, and conduct very big elaborate sacrifices where one renounces one's fruits. But in those sacrifices, there is always the Hari's name in the beginning or at the end or in the middle somewhere. You will find Hariki Om Shamno Mitrasham Varunakashamno Bhavatvaryamam Shamna Indro Brihaspati Shamno Vishnu Rurukramaha. See, Vishnu name is coming. Where? In the middle. In the beginning? Hariki Om. There also it is there. In some places it is not in the beginning, but the end. Om Tat Vishnum Paramam Padam, like that it will end. So, therefore the touch of the Vishnu's names elevates the karma yogis gradually over many, many lifetimes. Provided in the world there is a very good culture of Varnashrama being followed. Everybody is following Varnashrama. Then they are gradually led from the demigod worship to the Supreme Lord worship, eventually, by offering the fruits to Krishna Karmarpana. Like that. And once they are offering the fruits, what is the ripened fruit of offering fruits? The ripened fruit is renunciation. A stage comes when they can do Swadharma Tyaga. So you all know very well, you know, Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga, we say, no? So there are two things, the work and the fruits. Initially, which one wants you to try to give up? Fruits, yeah. Which is more easy to give up than work itself, yeah. And then when can one give up the work? In Gita, Krishna explains. Yastvat maratireva syat atmatriptaschamanamaha atmaniyeva santushtaha tasya karyam na vidyate. That person has no work to do. Who? He delights in the soul, is satisfied in the soul. He does all activities on the platform of soul and Krishna. So then such a person actually can give up the swadharma tyaga, he can do. So in this way, what is the meaning of giving up the fruits of the work? That also should be properly understood. Like for example, a student says, Sarvana, what is that? Karmanneva adhikaraste? Mahaphaleshu kadachana. Does it mean that he doesn't bother about the exam results? You know, he says, now I just study and I don't care about the results. Is there any one student in the world who writes an exam and doesn't anticipate the results? Correct, no? Or is there any lady in the kitchen who just takes a big palmful of salt and throws in the sabji and says, I don't care how the sabji comes, Mahaphaleshu kadachana, like that? Will they do that? If they do that, the whole item will be spoiled. So what is the meaning of that Mahaphaleshu kadachana? So that is the point. If the phala is not for me, it has to be for somebody. Like you sowed a mango seed, the tree has come and the mangoes are coming now. Will you say that I am not going to eat it? Okay, if you don't want to eat it, you have to give it to somebody now. Otherwise it will go waste, is it not true? So ultimately it is meant for whom? Meant for Krishna. Our work, the fruits of our work is meant for Krishna. Therefore, initially you give up the work, fruits, and eventually you understand that it should be done for Krishna Karmarpana. It should be given. So then what are the others, to whom are they giving the fruits? You may have a question. So they give to demigods first. If you read Surrender Unto Me, very beautifully our Burijan Prabhu has explained. First a person is attached to bountiful harvest and he is attached to, you know, Putra Bhagyam and all that. He calls the Brahmanas and performs Yajna and everything, where he sacrifices. So his sacrifice is goal-oriented. What is the goal? Material goal-oriented. That is called Sakama Karma Yoga. Correct, no? Actually, he is sacrificing some fruits of his earning, but with the expectation of getting Putra Bhagyam, with the expectation of getting Dhana Bhagyam, or getting some, you know, nice cultivation in the field and all that. And then he observes that, you know, in this world, even though he has sons and daughters, even though he has a lot of wealth, like Kurma Brahman, you know, he gets fed up after some time. He says, oh, the son has grown up now, he doesn't cooperate with me. And the field, you know, sometimes rains come, sometimes don't come, sometimes there is a competition amongst the business people also. So eventually he gets fed up with this world. And then also he sees that relatives and friends, they are all passing away one by one. He is very frustrated with losing near and dear ones. Then the Brahmanas tell him, actually sir, if you go to heaven, you can live a very long life, long duration of life. Then he starts offering Jyotishtoma sacrifices and other things for the demigods. So then when he offers for the demigod, now there is one more thing happens here. What is it? His faith in, implied faith in soul has come now. How do you know that? Going to heaven. That is, earlier was it there? Earlier there was only one motive. I will do the yajna and I will get this. This is input, this is output. Like that he was thinking before, isn't it? But now what is he thinking? He is ready to put faith in something which he has not seen with his eyes. That means he has made a progress or not. He has made a spiritual progress like that. But still his faith is in whom? Demigods. And what is his goal? Material or spiritual? Material still. Therefore Krishna says, you know, that was త్రైవేద్యామాం సోమపాపూత పాపా యజ్ఞేరిష్ట్వా స్వర్గతిం ప్రార్థయంతే తే పుణ్యమాసాద్య సురేంద్రలోకం అశ్నంతి దివ్యాన్ దివిదేవ భోగాన్ తేతం భుక్త్వా స్వర్గలోకం విశాలం క్షీణే పుణ్యే మర్త్యలోకం విశంతి ఏవం త్రయీ ధర్మమను ప్రపన్నా గత ఆగతం కామకామ అలభంతే. They keep going up, coming down, in the sometimes Raja, sometimes Praja, sometimes heaven, sometimes hell, like that. But at least they have developed a faith sufficient enough to, you know, aspire for heaven. So that is more advancement. After several times going, coming, they get very fried out, very fed up. Because in the middle world, you know, sukha dukha is always a mixture. Then the Brahmanas tell him that, actually, you know, you are suffering because of cycle of birth and death. If you can stop the cycle, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatrashanam, then when you are liberated, there is no more pinch of cycle of birth and death, like that they say. Then he aspires for moksha, aspires for moksha. So even myself also, in my very early days, you know, in the 7th, 8th, 9th, I read a lot of spiritual books on what is this kama, krodha, lobha and all these things. Then I understood about the atma and body and everything. Then I understood about the punarjanma also, and everything became clear. So punarjanma became clear, and then repeated birth and death. Then that was the time my strongest aspiration at that time was moksha, getting liberated. Oh, I have to get rid of this. Everybody is saying this, and the beauty is all organizations agree with this. Many spiritual organizations, you will say, they agree that you are not the body, you are the soul. And they also agree that the cycle of birth and death is the cause of suffering. Birth, old age, this is death. And you have to get rid of it. This much many people know, many organizations. What they don't know is, what is out there, beyond, what is beyond, that they are not very clear. So, then he aspires for liberation. Now, his faith has gone into what? Transcendence. From mundane platform to transcendence. Zero, zero. Correct? No? Shanti, shanti, shanti. His faith has gone up to that. Is it not more progressive than going to heaven? Getting material benefits on earth, getting material benefits on heaven, up to this it is like Nishkama Karma Yoga, isn't it? Sakama Karma Yoga. Up to this it is Sakama. Whereas, when he aspires for heaven, when he aspires for liberation, at that time he is more in a mood of Nivritti Marga, not in Pravritti. He wants to gradually become aloof, get detached. So, therefore, then he performs the karma and all, like our example of Janaka I gave you. Karmanai vahi samsiddhim astito janaka adeha loka sangraha mevapi sampashyan kartumarhasi. Krishna is telling that actually Janaka Maharaj need not do work of the king at all, but he was doing only to set example. Otherwise he was completely liberated. Janaka videha, it is said. Videha has double meaning. One meaning of videha is it Mithilapuri, it's called videha. Another meaning of videha means he was out of body. He was completely free from bodily consciousness. Always. That means he was always liberated. Completely liberated platform. That means the Nishkama Karma Yoga that he performed, from Sakama Karma Yoga, you go to, initially you do only Sakama Karma only you do. There is no yoga there. There is no offering to the Supreme Lord. But then from Sakama Karma Yoga you go to Nishkama Karma. Then Sakama Karma you come and then you, Sakama Karmis are actually Karmis, what we, nowadays also people work hard, no? They are called Sakama Karmis only. But in the Vedas, even if you use the word Sakama Karmi, it's a Karma Kandi. In the Vedas, if you see Prabhupada's books, when he uses the word Karmis, sometimes you will find that Karmis are used in the name of Karma Kanda also. There's a big difference between modern day Karmis and Karma Kandis. Anybody can say what the big difference? Yes? Their sanctification is not sanctioned and it is not sanctified by connection with faith in the Vedas and in the demigods. Whereas the Karmakandis, their enjoyment, sense gratification, therefore, a sense gratifying Karmakandi is far superior to a renounced atheist. Correct, no? If an atheist is saying, I am very detached, I am not enjoying, I am not even married, you know, I don't exploit anyone in this world, but I am an atheist. It's useless, it is. Because there is no submission to the Vedas. There is no submission to Vedas. Whereas a Karmakandi is a sense gratifier, but he is getting it sanctioned and sanctified from the Vedas. So that is a very, very special thing. So then one becomes a Karmakandi. He is also called as Sakama Karmi. But then when he offers the sacrifices, when he becomes detached, And then the Vishnu is also included. Then it becomes Sakama Karma Yoga, with some anticipation on the earth, anticipation in the heaven. And then from there, gradually he understands that I should offer Yat Karoshi Yadashnasi. Then you come to the Krishna Karmarpana. Second stage you come. Because he is, then he goes to 3.9 verse. What is that? Bhagavad Gita. Yajnartat Karmana Anyatra Lokoyam Karma. Who is that Yajna? Yajna by Vishnu. This is a very important step also. Amongst all the 33 crore devatas, who is the supreme? It's Vishnu. Then if he comes to that conclusion, you know, then he understands Vishnu is also coming from Krishna. Then he goes to that verse. Which one? Yat Karoshi, Yadashnasi, Yat Juhoshi, Tadasi, Yat Tapasasi Kaunte, Tat Kurusha Madarpana. There are many, many donors. You know, well-wishers, I know, they have lot of faith in Radha Krishna deities. They come to the temple and many of them are very fond of Krishna's Vrindavan Leelas also, like, you know, Krishna's Balya Leela. They have very deep appreciation. You must have seen also in Pune, some of the Kesha Prabhu's people, donors, they come on Ekadashi days here. They have developed reverence for both Rama and Krishna. You will see that. And they have respect, reverence, but they have their business. They offer their fruits. Other times, most of the time, they may be with the business. But they know that Krishna Karmarpan should be done. Whatever work I do, I will offer it to Krishna. Yeah.
Vedic time, when people, they have desire to eat meat.
Yeah.
If they do according to Vedas, suppose they have some yajna offered to Kali. So now it is sanctified and sanctioned by Krishna.
I will show you one verse for that.
Vedas.
I will show you. It's very nicely explained in the purport. Prabhupada explains here.
So they get a karma for this, Prabhuji?
No, they will not get. I'll just show you. What is it? Bhagavatam only, no? I can recite this verse. That is the 11th one. Yeah, this is the verse. Please repeat this verse. Loke vivayam ishamadya seva nitya hijanto nahi tatra chodana yavastitisteshu vivaha yajna suragrahaira sunivrittirishta 11.5.11. Very easy to remember. 11.5.11, yeah. Please read the translation.
In this material world, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating, and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities. Although the scriptural injunctions provide for sex through sacred marriage, for meat eating through sacrificial offerings, and for intoxication through the acceptance of ritual cups of wine, such ceremonies are meant for the ultimate purpose of renunciation.
Purport.
Those who are not situated in pure Krishna consciousness are always inclined towards material sense gratification in the form of illicit sex, meat eating, and intoxication. They simply desire a party life of eat, drink, and be merry. Such materialistic persons are unwilling to give up such temporary gratification because they are firmly bound up in the bodily concept of life. For such persons, there are numerous Vedic injunctions for rituals that bestow material sense pleasure in a regulated manner.
See, regulated. So they are irregulated, regulated, liberated. Three stages. So these people are coming in a regulated category, okay?
The conditioned soul thereby becomes accustomed to indirectly worshipping the Supreme Lord by accepting the austerity of regulated sense gratification in obedience to the Vedic way of life. Through purification, the living entity gradually develops a higher taste and becomes directly attracted to the spiritual nature of the Lord. Sometimes the fallen practitioners of the Karmakanda section of the Vedas assert that the material fruitive results of Vedic ceremonies should never be given up because they are prescribed by religious scriptures. For example, there is a Vedic injunction that in the proper season, a husband must approach his wife at night at least 5 days after her menstrual period if the wife has properly bathed and cleaned herself. Thus, a responsible householder should engage in religious sex life. The injunction that one must approach his wife for sex life is explained by the Vaishnava Acharyas as follows. Within the material world, almost every man is very lusty and desires passionate sex life with every attractive woman he meets, or with any woman at all. Actually, for an ordinary materialistic man, it is an accomplishment if he can restrict himself to relationships with his lawfully wedded wife. But because familiarity breeds contempt, the natural tendency is for the husband to gradually become envious or resentful of the wife and desire illicit connections with other women. Such a mentality is most sinful and abominable, and the Vedic scripture therefore orders that one must approach his actual wife with a desire to beget children and thus curtail the tendency toward illicit sexual connection with other women.
Were there no such
Vedic injunction ordering one to approach his wife, many men would naturally be inclined to neglect their wives and pollute other women by illicit connection.
Now you understand, no? Why a man is told to go to his wife on a particular day and all that? Because then he will tend to go to other women and then pollute them. Okay, go ahead.
However, such an injunction for conditioned souls does not apply to great souls who are fixed on the spiritual platform and are transcendental to material sex desire.
That's the most important point. Here comes the most important point here. For example, you know, we tell the first year boys, why do you go to the hotels to eat? We have Govindas. Why don't you eat in the Govindas? And one Brahmachari attends that lecture and says, Rajshampu sanction Govindas. And he Brahmachari says, regularly I also eat only in Govindas. Is it proper? He is cheating himself. Of course I said in the lecture, but to which audience I told? New people. Similarly, once I had told that some of the boys in the lecture, you can hear the George Harrison's 18 songs. I have it also, I gave it also. Once. So some Brahmacharis felt that, you know, Prabhuji has sanctioned. It's a sanctioned one, it's a sanctified one. We all can hear. And then you are hearing rock music. So I said it is mainly for those who cannot give up rock music. Correct, no? Then you go for such kind of songs. Now our time is so precious. If you can read literature like Bhagavatam, CC directly, why should we be hearing some rock songs which may not be totally mundane? But the point is, then what happens when a brahmachari hears the rock song by George Harrison? If you watch the video or hear the song, his old vasanas may be stirred. Because he is hearing it not with a pure intent, because of his old conditionings. Instinct, old instincts, yeah. So therefore, whether it be rock music, whether it be Govindas, one should know that when we are prescribing for a certain conditioned souls, you know, who are bound by certain attachments and struggles on a material plane, for them we are prescribing, and a person at a higher platform, if he goes to that is considered sin for him. And the Sveshva Adhikari Anishta verse, if you see. So what is piety for you? What is sin for you? So if you are going down in your standard, that is sin. If you are doing what is fit for you or above you, that is piety. So it varies. For example, onion garlic is all right for boys who are chanting 4 rounds or 8 rounds. They have not yet come to, 16 rounds. But once they come to 16 rounds, we introduce no onion garlic. So for a boy who has come to that stage, started following no onion garlic, if he's eating onion garlic, he's going down to, then that is impiety for him. It's clear, no? That's what he's saying. Read this again, this statement. However,
such an injunction for conditioned souls does not apply to great souls who are fixed on the spiritual platform and are transcendental to material sex desire.
They should not say, I have to follow the Vedas, what can I do? I am supposed to approach my wife because Vedas are saying it. No, that's not for you. You are already an ISKCON devotee, you are initiated, you have become more advanced now. You should follow what is given in ISKCON by Prabhupada for you. Yeah, go ahead.
As stated in this verse, Nivrittir Ishta, the actual purpose of the Vedic scriptures is to bring one back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. It is clearly stated by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam Tijatyante Kalevaram.
And then he quotes Santa Kale Chamameva and all that he quotes there. And then, okay. Yeah, read this one, this Vedic.
The Vedic regulations governing married sex life are actually meant to prevent sinful illicit sex. However, one should not foolishly conclude that a lusty attraction to his wife's naked body is the perfection of self-realization and Vedic elevation.
Very frankly, yes, but yeah, yes.
The actual perfection of spiritual life is to become free from all material desires, nivritti, and to fix the mind on Krishna.
It's a very, very beautiful statement it is. Yeah. Actually, some people say, even in our ISKCON society, they may say that, you know, if a man and woman connect in Krishna conscious marriage, but after that they are not able to follow the standards given by Prabhupada, it is all right if they have a slip within the married life, you know, within the married life. So they say that instead of a man who is not satisfied with his wife going to someone else, which is capital I illicit sex, it is better that he falls with his wife only, which is small I illicit sex. Correct, no? It is a relatively smaller sin than to fall with one's wife, than fall with others. But what is better than both? Follow the standard of living the pure standard of life, whatever Prabhupada prescribes. That's the highest standard. So everyone should aspire for the highest or lesser than that? Everyone should aspire for the highest. That is the point. So in this way, he explains it very nicely here that the Vedic injunction should not be misinterpreted. Go ahead. It's very nice. Further.
Similarly, there are other injunctions governing the regulated consumption of liquor and meat.
So one more point. In case, sometimes in a family, say one of the two parties is more materialistic, one of the spouse, maybe the wife or the husband, other party is spiritual. Sometimes they have to compromise. For example, some husbands are not devotees, wives are devotees. Now the husband tells the wife, you also sit and watch TV with me, and he's watching some mundane serial. Can a wife watch? Of course, if you're brahmachari, you can say no very easily. You know, flat no, you can say, because brahmacharis don't have such obligations. Correct, no? You, nobody catches you and takes you to watch a TV serial which you may not like to watch. But in a family, these are challenges. That way you can see how brahmachari life is saving you from these kind of challenges. Because husband and wife are bound together in marriage tie, which is a sacred tie. So then what the wife may do, okay, I will watch TV with you, half an hour I will watch, but that half an hour I want a commitment from you, you should chant 4 rounds every day. Correct, no? So if you want me to sit with you for TV watching half an hour, you have to chant 4 rounds half an hour. So she can demand a spiritual commitment by giving him the material commitment. You understand, no? Then if husband, she sees that he is not chanting at all, she will say, I am also going to sit with you because I have told you. It's like a win-win for both of us. You understand, no? In this way, an intelligent wife will bring the husband from a material platform to spiritual platform. After that, there is no more TV watching after that. It will be finished. Like this. You know, one party is a spiritually elevated platform, another party is lesser. It may be husband or wife, whoever it is. But if one is ready to reduce the standard for the sake of elevating this person's standard, then only they can come to a balance. So in this way, these are all challenges. One example I'll tell you from Bhagavatam is, Kardama Muni, he is marrying a king's daughter, Devahuti. And she still has impressions from her palace of her father. She has lived a very lavish life there. Now she is coming to the forest and he could easily see and understand her body is emaciated and she wants children. And she is a poor girl who has lived in the palace of a king. So understanding her needs, because Kardamani was so exalted and, you know, pure at heart, he could understand. So he arranged a aerial mansion, and then took her to all the pleasure valleys and then eventually gave her 9 female children and then 1 male child, everything he gave. But there is a verse there which says, although Kardamani took her to all the pleasure valleys, he remained a great soul, it says in the Bhagavatam. He did not succumb in his consciousness to an enjoying mentality. How many of you feel it's a little difficult, you feel? Correct? Isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. So, like for example, you have to take materialistic relatives. For example, you take them to, you know, Snake Park, you take them to Red Fort, you take them to Taj Mahal, you know, you take them to a movie because they are not yet devotees. And then you tell them to chant Hare Krishna. It's a little difficult, no? In the course of going to those places, what can happen to a devotee? He may also get carried away, correct? No? That's the point he is making here, that these standards are given for people at a lower level, not for elevated people. Read further, Prabhu.
Similarly, there are other injunctions governing the regulated consumption of liquor and meat. Those who are mad after meat eating are instructed to perform Vedic ceremonies by which they are permitted to consume five types of five clawed animals, namely the rhinoceros, turtle, rabbit, porcupine and lizard.
Lizard also.
Similarly,
when I read it, my lord, I dropped my breakfast that day. After hearing about the lizard, can somebody eat a lizard? Can you imagine?
Similarly, the consumption of specific liquors is allowed during highly restricted sacrifices performed on specific days of the year at great expense. In this way, other types of drunkenness and cruel animal slaughter are prohibited.
How are they prohibited? Because they are allowed only on specific days, like Amavasya day, like that. Amavasya day, they allow these five M's, they call it, no? Mura, Matsya, Maitun, Madira, and Mas. These five M's they allow on the Amavasya days. And that means it's not a everyday thing. Like in South India, there are some temples of Devi, Durga Devi. There they call Andi, they call. Andi means a pujari there. Pujari will also be in that community, people only. They are also belonging to that community. But those fellows will follow this rule. What rule? On Amavasya day, they will do these five M's. They will do. But in their community, they are considered very saintly people. They will say, he is so exalted, only on Amavasya day he will touch these things. It's not strict, they will say like that. So that is what is the best thing you can do for the people of that community, in that community. So Vedas are prescribing like that. Yeah. One is?
One is gradually purified by performing such sacrifices and he develops a distance for such foolish activities as meat eating.
Develop a distaste.
I'm sorry. He develops a distaste for such foolish activities as meat eating and the drinking of liquor.
Here comes a question for all of you. How does he develop a distaste? If he is regularly consuming them, then how can he develop a distaste? Three things are said till now. He is drinking liquor, he is eating varieties of animal meat, and he is also engaging in sex with his wife at a particular period. Then how will he develop a distaste for these things? Anybody, you answered. Anyone else would like to answer? Very important question it is.
He's following Vedas.
That's the point. See, when he becomes submissive to the Vedas, it is the Lord who gives him the realization that these are useless, good for nothing. Because, you know, because you are following. Therefore, if Guru orders you, Krishna orders you and you do it, in a regulated way, over a period of time you conquer it. So the method of conquering mental attachment is regulated acceptance of anything that is sanctioned and sanctified. So when you take, for example, a mother tells a child, beta, you go to school, but don't go to the mitai, you know, which is sold opposite to the school, which is surrounded by flies. It is no good for you. But child says, mom, everybody is purchasing and eating it. Okay, they are eating it, but for you it's not good. Can I buy once in a week? No, not at all. And the child may cry, but she may say, but here, instead of a 10 paisa mitai, I'll give you 1 rupee. You go to the shop, buy the mitai which is in the bottle, which is covered in the bottle, and the shopkeeper will give you, take that. Now the son, as soon as he comes out of the school, he sees the mitai surrounded by flies. So immediately what comes in his mind? Mother comes in mind. That is the point. See, when there is a propensity for sense gratification, as soon as you see those objects, what comes to mind? The person who told you not to indulge in it, that person comes to mind. For example, a person thinks I can indulge with my wife freely anytime, every time. When he goes to her, he immediately remembers, hey, there is a Vedic injunction, which is taught by Brahmanas to me. And similarly, liquor bottle, anytime he touches, hey, I cannot touch it. It's only allowed once a month or something. Other times I will not touch it. So every time he has to say no to the thing, whom he remembers? The Brahmana, the Guru, Guruji who is administering. And he remembers the Vedas. So Guru Sadhu Shastra is remembering. And that remembrance purifies him. That is the point. Even for us, Brahmacharis also, we are following the norm. We should always think, what will my Guru think if I indulge like this? I know I am speaking like this, I am acting like this. My Lord, if my Guru comes to know this is the way I am doing, he will be broken hearted. I don't want to see him cry. I don't want to want him to get my share of my sin. So for the sake of Guru's pleasure, I will restrain my senses. So those people who don't remember the Guru, don't remember the scriptures, they are the fellows who will indulge in sense gratification unrestrictedly. That means they have lost the connection. The connection with higher authorities which they are supposed to follow. So then who are the people who do like that? Those who are following in a stereotyped way without feeling a conscious connection to Vedas and the superiors who are ordering us not to do. Or people whose whimsical attitude is too deep-rooted and despite Guru's order also they are unable to follow. For example, you see the rats growing in size, no? They have already eaten, what do you call, goose, you call, no? They are so big, even the cats are afraid. Correct, no? Similarly, sometimes Guru tells a disciple, he doesn't follow. Again Guru tells him, he doesn't follow. Gradually, his impurities in his heart becomes like a goose. Then after that, he tells Guru also, joke na karo. He just leaves Guru and becomes independent, whimsical, because the anarthas have grown too big. And there are people like that. Even Guru says, I have told him 100 times, he doesn't listen to me. There are people like that. They become totally independent-minded. Whimsical they become. That means, because of their non-adherence to the Vedic authority and Guru's authority, they could not cleanse their impurities. Rather, the impurities overtook them and they fell prey to sinful life. Either in terms of dealing with opposite sex, or dealing with money, or dealing with some service. Or some people, for example, some people act independent of local authorities in ISKCON. You can't control them because he doesn't listen to Guru also. And he goes to Guru and puts up a nice drama. But he doesn't follow the local authorities. Many places there are problems. Splinter groups they call, no? Splinter groups act independently. Similarly, there are people who may be taking to the renounced order, but they may elope with a woman and bring a very, very bad reputation to Guru. Because their anarthas took over. That means their obedience to the authorities, their obedience to the Vedas has been very weak. That means they were practicing the religious path superficially, not very seriously. Is it clear to everybody? It's a very, very deep point it is. So this is the point, you see what he says here. Read this again. Such an important point it is.
One is gradually purified by performing such sacrifices and he develops a distaste for such foolish activities as meat eating and the drinking of liquor.
See, the word foolish is used. He realizes it is foolish. Earlier he thought it is wonderful. Now he understands it's all foolish. So he develops a distaste by the mercy of the Lord, you know, who is behind the Vedas. He is the Vedesha Sarve Rahamepe Vedyo, the Lord and Guru. They are the ones who show him mercy and help him develop a distaste. Therefore, here, this is the secret, topmost secret. Go ahead.
The Vedic rules and regulations that gradually restrict sense gratification are called vidhi.
Gradually, the word is used, you see. Kramaya, kramashaha. Shanai, shanai, uparamet. Krishna says, in that he says, shanai, shanai, uparamet. But the mind is saying. He says, now one more verse he says, when the mind goes, yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyam yaitat atmaniye vavasham neyet. That is, no? Shanai shanai uparamet means slowly, slowly, gradually you bring the mind under control. Like for example, it's very difficult for, one example is given by Chakravarti Thakur, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He says that, it's very amazing in this world, small children like sound making toys. You've seen that? You've seen that? Children, what do you call this? You all know that now what it is?
Yeah.
And the children are fond of it. Even crying child stops. You've seen that? When you do this, along with tears also. Watching like that. But the very same thing, when this child becomes a grandfather, will it be pleasing? Most displeasing. This is the meaning of Matra Sparsha. You see? Sense perception means what was so pleasing to you at one time in childhood, when you become a grandfather, even little noise also, you know, is so irritating. He will tell the grandson, "Are, nikal jao idhar se, awaaz mat karo." And from there he will go here and do drr, drr, drr again. And he will keep doing. So Chakravarti Thakur gives his example. He says, you know, can you kill that boy?
He is like your grandson. You can't kill him. Mind is also like that, he says. Our mind, you can't kill the mind also. But at the same time, you have to know how to deal with the mind very intelligently. Therefore, he uses the word gradually. If you have thrown a wet cloth in a thorny bush, don't try to pull it immediately. The cloth will get torn. Mind is also like that. One should know how to gradually bring the mind by restricting sense gratification or the order of Guru, order of Vedas, order of Supreme Lord. And then be faithful. Therefore, honest avoidance of opposite sex. Prabhupada says, you know, that honesty is very required. If you are not honest, if you think I can cheat them, then we will get cheated ourselves. Go ahead.
The word niyama refers to injunctions governing activities that human beings ordinarily would not be inclined to perform. For example, it is said, ahar aha sandhyam upasita. One should chant Gayatri Mantra, the three injunctions of the day, every day. It is also stated, magasnanam prakurvita. One must take bath daily, even during the coldest months of winter. Such injunctions prescribe activities that ordinarily would be neglected.
Yes. So two things are said. So one is the winter bath, which is the other one?
Gayatri.
Many devotees often complain that they forget to do Gayatri. One of the reasons for that is they think Gayatri is more Vedic. It is not directly so much related to Vaishnava. They think like that. Actually, you will see the Bharat Maharaj, he did Gayatri also, but he meditates on the Lord Narayana, who is the source of the energy of the sun. It is mentioned there. That's a shloka mentioned there. So the sun's energy comes from Lord Narayana's Shakti. So he meditated on whom when he chanted the Gayatri? You know, it's a like in the Gayatri mantra, we are praying to that. It says Supreme. Who is that Supreme? It's Narayana. It's an address to the Lord. Lead kindly light. Please lit up my heart and lead me in the right direction. So, similarly, there are seven Gayatri mantras. Each of them actually are headed by one personality. And if we fail to do the Gayatri on a regular basis, we become gradually slack, gradually careless and inattentive. And that inattentiveness percolates into everything else in spiritual life. So, therefore, one has to actually take the trouble. Even if a class was going on, after the class, sometimes I have seen Maharajas do at night also in case they had a class in the evening. So one has to make sure that this is my commitment to Guru and I have to complete it. Similarly, chill winter in case there is no geyser working, geyser has become, you know, broken down or something. Cold water was difficult. Like Prabhupada took the devotees to Kumbh Mela and Prabhupada said, Kumbh Mela, how glorious of Kumbh Mela bath and everything. All of them said, wonderful lecture, very nice. But nobody went to take bath, you know. And many devotees are thinking of taking 3-drop bath in a Kumbh Mela because it's cold water. Prabhupada understood the situation. What he did? He himself went there and entered into water and started pouring. Then everybody entered after that. So he said he wanted to teach them this principle in a very, very holy place. You know, although the cold water is a little painful to the body, you know, we have to remember the 2.14 verse and go on. You know, with our bath. Go ahead, bro. Mic is not working.
Although it has been mentioned above that there are injunctions against neglecting one's lawful wife, there is no injunction against totally neglecting meat eating. In other words, killing of animals is considered most abominable, and although some concession is made for the more violent class of men, one should actually completely give up this cruel activity, because even a slight discrepancy in animal sacrifices will cause havoc in one's life.
Yeah, for example, if a wedded wife is approaching the husband for a child, but the husband is thinking that I don't feel like, right now I am not yet advanced in spiritual life to give you a child. Another 3-4 years I will advance and then I will give you a child. If a husband thinks like that, then the wife may become very restless, just like we see Diti, Diti Kashyapa situation. Because she was comparing herself with her co-wives. Correct, no? You know, co-wives like Aditi and other people. So, as a husband, he had to protect her by cooperating with her. But it was a wrong hour, inauspicious hour, and that led to some problem. We all know that. But the point he says here, sometimes if there is a such a demand for a person to beget a child or something, it may be difficult for him to say no. But that's not the case with meat eating, he's saying. Meat eating can be easily said no. Because they are very, meat eaters actually don't have any spiritual realization. Prabhupada says they are very blunt in their buddhi. Go ahead.
It should be understood that those who have become spiritually advanced by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra under the guidelines of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are expected to completely give up material sense gratification. If a devotee of Krishna duplicitously tries to take advantage of the scriptural allowances for meat eating, intoxication or sex enjoyment, then he commits the 10th offense against the chanting.
What is it? 10th offense? Even after hearing so much, maintaining? It is not saying metal attachment, maintaining metal attachments. That means, you know, he has actually risen to the platform of accepting diksha from a guru, and is following the four regs and everything. Now he feels that, you know, I want to go down, and then he gets degraded. So one boy was asking, what after initiation? My mind is desiring to do some wrong things. I want to go down. Actually, what can I do, Prabhu? Mind is impelling so much. So who is your guru? Mind is your guru or guru is your guru? Correct, no? Then one should go to guru. And mind is like a dog. You have to beat the dog. Because you have tamed the dog for so long. Dog is again and again coming and sitting on your lap. So you have to tame the dog by taking the instruction of guru very seriously. So therefore he is saying, then one shouldn't become duplicit, as he is saying. Using these kinds of Vedic injunctions, one cannot say, you know, I found it in this Veda or that Veda. People get quotes also like that. Of course, Vedas give instruction for hundreds of varieties of people, specific instructions meant for a particular type of person at a particular context also, Deshkala Patra also. So even for one person also, there is Deshkala Patra. One example I'll tell you. Somebody is asking a question to me, Ekadashi day, what should we take? The answer is a very general answer. You say you can do Nirjal, or you can do Sajal, or you can be a, you know, Falahari, or you can be a Dugdahari, correct, no? Or you can be a, you know, one-time Ahari, one-time Ekadashi Ahari, correct, no? You know, or you can be a two-time Ekadashi Ahari, or you can be four-time also. Correct, no? There's so much variety is there in that. So, according to what? According to the individual. How much a person, like Bhima. Can you tell Bhima, you have to follow all the Ekadashis? Therefore, for him, he was awarded Pandava Nijala Ekadashi is given to him. So, in the same manner, one should know, according to the individual's situation, Deshkala Patra, it is all awarded. So, one shouldn't just pull out some Vedic statement from somewhere and give quote from here and there, claiming oneself to be very learned and say, the Vedas are saying, so I am going to do it. You can't do that. Go ahead. Especially
if one has accepted the renounced order of life called Tridandi Sannyas, it is most abominable and reprehensible to become attracted to the Vedic injunctions prescribing regulated sex life for householders.
If a sannyasi returns back to home again to indulge with wife and children, then he is considered fallen down. Therefore, even Bharat Maharaj, it is said, His Holiness Radhagund Maharaj is saying, Bharat Maharaj never fell down, he said. I was wondering why. So he said, Bharat Maharaj actually, if he fell down, he would have returned to home, to the palace, and he would have developed a desire to rule the kingdom again, or he would have developed attachment to his sons and daughters, or his wife and all that, wives and all. But did it happen to him? He was only attached to the deer only, by arrangement of the Lord, and then he got purified subsequently. So he said, but if a sannyasi returns to Purvashrama again, that's considered a fall down. Go ahead.
According to Srila Jiva Goswami, there is no such allowance for one in the renounced order of life. The Vaishnava sannyasis should not foolishly become bewildered by the statements in the Vedic literature, such as the following verse from Manu Samhita.
Na mamsa bhakshane dosho na madye na samaitune.
It may be considered that meat eating, intoxication and sex indulgence are natural propensities of the conditioned souls, and therefore such persons should not be condemned for these activities. But unless one gives up such sinful activities, there is no possibility of achieving the actual perfection of life.
Yeah. Although it says they are natural propensity, for whom?
Somebody
see that, for whom?
Condition.
For conditioned souls, but not for someone who has taken the renounced order. If he says that I am a conditioned soul, then why did you take renounced order? One is not supposed to take. So he is saying that one cannot revert back to the old sinful life. He is saying, quoting such kinds of verses, even Shastra say that conditioned souls indulge in these things. One cannot. Yeah, read further. Kriya Vidhana.
In the Kriya Vidhana, it is explained that sex is permitted only during the Vamadev sacrifice, or the Garbhadan Samskar for begetting of religious children. It is also stated that sometimes certain types of meat are used in worshipping Lord Hari through sacrifices to the forefathers and demigods. Similarly, there is a form of intoxication available through drinking the soma beverage. But if a so-called Brahmana becomes attracted to such offerings, he immediately becomes polluted. Actually, the Brahmanas who performed such offerings would not personally accept any type of liquor or meat.
But they facilitated Shudras and lower people for performing those sacrifices for them to consume. You understand, no? Like one example, if I give you, immediately you will understand it. Like we go to some homes for programs. After that program, they bring a box of some peda which has got silver coating and all in the top. Correct, no? And then they tell you, Swamiji, please kindly offer it to Krishna. They say, correct, no? So we keep it, we offer it, and then they want to distribute to everybody. So can we also eat it? You understand, no? They give you also. Correct, no? So in case they give you, you can take it, and what you can do? On the way, give it a beggar or something like that. Yeah? So you can't say, but anyway, I only offered it's a prasad. But because it is from outside, you know, sold in a shop, it's in a business enterprise, we can't eat that. In the same manner, sometimes the Brahmanas will go for such sacrifices, so that these fellows who are, see, those fellows may otherwise be atheistic people. Yeah? But now that they want to do something religious, after which they want to drink and do all those things. Yeah? So, Brahmana is facilitating that, facilitating them by making an effort to uplift them from sinful life. For how many of you it's very clear? This example is clear, no? Yeah, it's very beautiful it is. He's saying, that means that somebody is very sinful and then they want to go from here to here. From this platform to this platform. And you as a Brahmana is facilitating it. Correct, no? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Gee, I can't see it.
Oh, it has become very hot. Okay.
In the Kriya Vidhana,
No. This is actually below, third line from bottom. Actually,
the Brahmanas who performed such offerings would not personally accept any type of liquor or meat.
Yes.
These things would be consumed by the Kshatriyas who are not considered at fault in accepting such remnants of sacrifice.
Then why are the Brahmanas going to such places? Where people are eating meat, drinking wine and all that. Why are they going? Anybody can say?
They won't get elevated, Kshatriyas.
For elevating those fellows from this platform. See, Brahmana platform is here. And those fellows are here to here, they are trying to come. And they are helping them and coming. But if Brahmana has become interested, I will also join you. You know, in doing this. Then they get degraded. One example I'll tell you. In 1994 when I had joined Bombay, Shri Radha Gopinath Temple. You know, in those days, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and His Holiness Jagannath Maharaj, both of them, practically every day they would give programs outside in the evening. So afternoon we used to have Brahmachari class and evening we would go for congregation programs. And many programs were in homes of devotees. And at the time the congregation was building, 93-94. So we used to go, a lot of Brahmacharis used to go for those programs. And in those programs they used to have this kind of, you know, nightly dressed people serving hot, what do you call it, like a buffet type. They are all hotel people, correct, no? And there will be paneer and all those varieties of 8 or 10 items, because every grihastha arranges, two maharajas are coming to their home. So you can imagine how, what kind of prasad they must be cooking, correct, no? Of course, they would arrange it from outside, no? Because it's a big crowd. Sometimes 300 people, 250 people, 400 people would come. So they can't cook prasad, so they would arrange from from some kind of caterer type of thing, and then they may take it and tell them to cook without onion, garlic, and they may offer. So our Brahmacharya is also eating that in the night, and it would become almost 9:30, 10 to eat, because evening we would leave. You know, we would leave the temple by about 5 o'clock, 5:30. You have to travel also, so many times 5 o'clock you are not hungry to eat, so you eat at 6:30, 7, no. So we reach the program, but by the time prasad is not ready, their food is not ready. So after the program, you would eat. Very quickly, many brahmacharis started getting trouble, you know, stomach trouble, everything. And then Maharaj found out what is happening. Maharaj said, no, it is no good for our brahmacharis to eat those things. Maharaj said, that is for outside devotees, it's all right. That's like a Govindas type of thing. And that opulent food, so brahmacharis eat at night. One thing is it's heavy, another thing is late night, and another thing is it's not cooked by proper devotees, And Brahmachari's life is very, supposed to be very fine-tuned. Maharaj said, it's good that they don't eat it. And then Maharaj said, even grihasthas, if you can make and cook and serve, that's best. But sometimes there are difficulty challenges, for a big number of people. So, why I am telling you this? Now Brahmachari is going to that program where the food served is not of high standard. So what he can do, he can take advantage of the lecture, but food he can carry in a tiffin box. Correct? Now from the temple you can carry, before the program, you go to some balcony or somewhere and finish the prasadam, 7 o'clock. That's what I started doing after that. You keep it, Karnataka Guru has a dabba, I keep around, carry it. So that is intelligence. Actually, many brahmacharis saw me doing it and they also said, we will also eat in the temple only, we will not take. So we 4 or 5 of us have decided at that time and then everybody stopped eating outside after that. So this is the point he is making. The brahmanas may assist somebody to go from one lower platform to another little higher platform, but they are much higher, they should not succumb. That's what he is saying. We are running short of time. But we'll complete this. Let us see what is there.
However, in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it can be observed that those who desire to become advanced devotees of Krishna immediately give up all such fruitive sacrifices. There is no scope in pure devotional service for any type of fruitive sacrifices.
Jnana karmadi. And is pure devotional service only for Brahmanas? What Brahmanas? Prabhupada says 5th class, 6th class, 8th class, 10th class, 20th class also, he says. Anybody can be accommodated in pure devotional service. Like, there are antyajas we call. Antyaja means beyond the four, like 5th class, 6th class onwards. Apart from Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So, Prabhupada says anybody can take to devotional service. So, you don't have to give them anything of the Vedic fruity sacrifices. We can directly give them mala and make them chant. Yeah, go ahead.
There is no scope in pure devotional service for any type of fruitive sacrifices. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demanded that all of his sincere followers engage 24 hours a day in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, hearing and chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead. Those who claim to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who are seriously planning on going back home back to Godhead in the near future should not become mindlessly attracted by Vedic fruitive rituals that are meant to attract those who are hopelessly bound up in the material bodily concept of life. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always remain aloof from such tainted rituals.
Because they involve dirty things, one can avoid them. Nice, no? Powerful, isn't it? This is a very, very powerful purport. It made it very, very clear for us. So, today we learnt many things. Actually, I thought that without such explanation, if you are just proceeding fastly, just one step after another, Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we may not develop a deep understanding. Therefore, I devoted some time. So, and then now today I could only speak about giving up the fruits. Next class when I come, I want to say a little bit more about giving up the work also. Not only the fruits, but also work. That will be the Swadharma Tyaga. And then from Jnana Mishra Bhakti onwards, it's very important. Very, very important. After that, it will be very easy because that goes very easily with our understanding in Krishna conscious books. Very easily, Prabhupada books you can understand. But the previous ones are practiced by many people in the world outside. Therefore, Vrijan Prabhu took time to explain that. How gradually the upgradation happens for people up to the point of Jnana. So, by doing Swadharma Tyaga, the knowledge awakens. So we will see about it in the next class. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai. Aur Bhaktavrinda.